You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
All right, everybody ready? I want to minister to you just a few minutes, 25 or so. That'll be a miracle for me. But I have something on my heart I want to share with you. Turn with me to Proverbs 29. Nothing new. I mean, this is something you've heard before. And as Brother Osteen used to say, this message be cornbread and beans, but we need cornbread and beans. Amen? I think sometimes we let simple things slip, and we try to get too complicated and try to get a great, you know, revelation that really doesn't do anybody any good. When you miss it and I miss it, it's something real simple. You didn't trust God. You didn't live right. You didn't pray. You didn't believe. Something, you know. It's not complicated. And it could be, you know, when something bad goes wrong, it's just the world we live in. Don't blame God for everything. Come on, there's a devil and then there's you. Okay, I'm getting a good start here, I can tell already. But I want to minister a little bit on vision, on dreams, on hope. You know, what a terrible world if you have no hope.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, we are living in a world that is fast losing hope.
Amen.
We're living in a country that seemingly is fast losing hope. There's just like depression trying to get come on our country. You don't have to live there. You can be in this country and not live in that land, as it were. You can be in the land of Goshen. You can have light in your land. There may be darkness around you, but God can be your light. You have reason to hope. You have reason to dream. You have reason to have vision. You have reason to have a bright future. God wants you to have a bright future. You're not trapped. You're not in a box. You're not oppressed in the sense that you can't do anything. Listen, if God be for you, who cares who's against you? Amen? We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And the Bible says, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world.
Yes.
That never changes. Philippians 4:19 is still true. My God still supplies my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Psalms 23:1 is still true. The Lord is still my shepherd. I shall not want or lack for any good thing. Hallelujah. Any good thing. I mean, he blesses me. He blesses you. If you serve God, it pays to serve Him. If you turn your life and over to Him, then He'll take full responsibility for you. And He is a good daddy, and He is a good shepherd, and He is a lover of our soul. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So don't you get depressed. You fight it with passion. You fight it with faith and courage and push it off your life. I'm telling you, don't let that get on you. Listen, we got a bright future. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Hallelujah. We can make it.
Amen.
Glory to God. We can go over.
Yes.
We have reason to hope. You can have a better life. Maybe something tragic has happened to you, but you know what? It's not over. Hallelujah. It's not over because God's not through. Hallelujah. His word's still true. He's going to come through just like He said. He's going to do just what He said He'd do. If you just hang in there and believe Him and trust Him, you might have some tough days. The bullets may be flying. You may be in the battle, in the fray. But you know, we win this battle.
Yes.
We win this deal.
Yes, sir.
But you have to, you know, you have to see it from God's perspective. You have to look into God's word to get that kind of teaching or that kind of help or hope. You don't get that kind of hope from the news. You don't get it from the world. You don't get it at the gas station pumping gas when all they're talking about is how high it is. Are you with me? I remember Brother Osteen saying years ago when we went to Lakewood Church, he'd say, "Why, if gas went to $1 a gallon, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Boy, he'd get all excited. "Why, if bread went to $1 a loaf, it doesn't matter, my God..." And he would just get into, he'd preach and run one side to the other, and we'd go, "Yeah, I could never imagine it going that high, but yeah, yeah." You know. And you know, here it is, it's a lot higher than that. "And my God still supplies all my need.
Yes, right.
According to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. That's good news. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's hope, see? That's help. You got hope and help in God's word. Pure and simple. You don't want to lose hope. You want to keep hope alive. Amen. You believe and stand in faith, but you have to have expectancy. Listen, get out of the mully grubs. Get out of the dumps. Come on, rise above it.
Amen.
Rise up to your place in Christ. Hallelujah. Become what you're supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
Life's not about finding out who you are. It's about becoming what you're supposed to be.
That's right.
That's good.
"Well, I just don't know who I am. You know, I had this happen and that happen, and my mama did this and my daddy did this, and, you know, my mama slapped, my daddy slapped." Well, you probably need to be slapped, but that's another story. I hope you had some good parents, you know. But you know what? It's up to you now. Come on. I don't know if they did right or not. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they did.
That's right.
But your future is in your hands now. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Hey, come on. With Jesus, you can overcome anything.
That's right. Amen.
It's not about your past. It's about your future. Mm-hmm. It's about where you're going. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Not what's happened to you or where you've been. Listen, we all got stories to tell. We all got skeletons in our closet. We've all, you know, probably raised in some dysfunctional way. I always think of Joseph. You know, his brothers threw him down a well, sold him to the Midianites, and told his daddy he died. Now, that's dysfunctional.
Praise God.
I mean, there's something wrong with that family. But look at Joseph. And you know, he had some other challenges after that too. I mean, he got to working for somebody. The man's wife lied about him. He got thrown in jail.
That's right.
But he kept his faith. Kept his faith. Kept his faith. And he went from prison to the palace.
That's right.
Man, because he just kept believing, And just keep your faith. Keep your focus. Hallelujah.
Good.
All right, Proverbs 29. Found it? I just want to give you plenty of time to get there. Proverbs 29, verse 18, very familiar verse. The King James says, where there is no vision, the people perish. New King James says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. I love that. You know, without a vision, without hope, and that's what a vision is, it's a revelation from God. It's something, when you have a vision of something, it's revealed outside the natural. It's something that's seen another way other than just your natural eyes. That's why the Bible translates it revelation in most modern translations. We need a revelation of what God has to say about us and about our marriage and about our business and about our ministry, about this church, about our future. Without it, we're going to perish. See, this is not just a game we're playing. It's not just a success program we've entered and just instituting certain principles and formulas. No, this is a God thing. Or shut the doors. You know, let's just all go home if it's not. But since God, it is a God thing, then we need to get our orders from Him. We need to get into His Word and find out what He has to say. And from that, we get a revelation. We get a vision. Without that, we're going to perish. I mean, we can work all kinds of formulas, but without God's Word, we're going to perish. Even catchy sayings and one-liners and stories and jokes and things that I even throw into messages, if that's all you remember, you know, that you're just following man's wisdom, man's logic, and so on and so forth.
Right.
But when I quote you the Word and give you a scripture, all of a sudden now, it's not man. This is God we're talking about.
Right.
And when times get tough, you won't say, well, I'm going to do this because Pastor said so, or I'm going to do this because so-and-so said so. You're going to say, I'm going to do this because God said so.
That's
Hallelujah.
Right.
And God does not lie. And God's Word will work because the testing time will come, and the trial will come, and the devil will come. There's no question. You're going to be challenged to live right. You're going to be challenged to live holy. You're going to be challenged in your marriage. You'll be challenged in your business. You're going to be challenged if you choose to serve God. But if you know what God says, I'll tell you what, you won't perish.
That's right.
Amen.
Are you with me? God says, if I do this, this outcome will happen. God says, if I stand on this promise, this will come to pass. Hallelujah. It may not look like it. I may not feel like it, but God says so. And I've got a vision. I see it because I have a revelation of what God says, and I'm not going to perish. I'm not going to cast off restraint, quit, throw in the towel, turn around. I'm going to keep going forward. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to make it because God says so, because I have a revelation, because I have a vision. Do you know what God says about your life? Do you know what He says about your marriage? Do you know what He says about your business?
Right.
Well, get in the Word of God and find out. Find out what He says. And let your vision be formed. Now, this is so important, because if your hopes and dreams are formed some other way, when the time of testing comes and the trial comes and the battle comes, and it will, it comes to all, we live in a broken, fallen world. God, I don't believe God's testing you. I don't believe God's behind that. But there is a devil. There is sin. There is a spirit of this world that, you know, goes the wrong direction, as it were. If your vision's not formed or based on God's Word, then you'll fall in the time of trouble. That's why he goes on and says, he that keeps the law, happy is he. Y'all see that? That's the rest of that verse. He that keeps the law, happy is he. In other words, that vision, that revelation that he gets from God's based on his Word.
That's right.
And you know what? It's a given that you're going to do that Word. So if you want to fulfill a vision, you have to do something. You have to move. You have to act. You have to step out on it. To just hear a good Word and repeat it is one thing, but to live it, now you're getting into what God wants you to do. He wants you to act on it. And listen, you'll get if you, even if you're on the right road, you'll get run over if you're just sitting in the middle of it. Isn't that right? So he wants you to be moving with this vision. running with this vision of a godly marriage, running with this vision, you know, of a godly job, if that's the case, a godly life, overcoming anger, overcoming bitterness, and whatever. Yes. I don't know what it is, but don't lose hope. You can overcome. You can win. Amen. Get in the Word and find out what God says, and then act on it. Do it. Yield to it, and you will not perish. Without a vision, the people perish.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? He that keeps the law, happy is he. Yes. Hope, man. Keep hope alive. Don't you give up hope. You turn that TV off. I got a remote control. It has a power button on it. No, really. I mean, sometimes the news just, I'm thinking, oh, that's enough. That's just enough.
Yeah. That's right.
Hello. I know we hear what's going on, but my goodness, don't get all that stuff in you. Come on. I mean, I'm aware of what's going on around the world. I think it's a tragedy what's happening over there with the tornadoes and the flooding. I think over almost 350 people now have died, 600 missing. You know, it's just a tragedy. But you know what? That ought to drive us to our knees to pray for those people.
That's right.
Instead of saying, oh my, that's bad, did you hear? Hey, God, I just pray right now for those families. I pray for those governors of those states that are now have all these decisions to make and so on. You know, it ought to drive us to our knees to pray to do something, see? Because there is hope, even with all that mess. There's still hope. Because there's still God.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
I tell you, Jesus is still Lord, not the devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And Jesus said this, Jesus is the one that said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
So there again, if you want to live, if you want to be happy, happy is he who keeps the law, then you need to eat and take in and digest and meditate and confess and act on and live the word of God. Hallelujah. That'll make your vision come to pass. That'll fulfill your vision.
That's right.
I have visions for this church. You know, God called us to come here and start this church back in 1982, August of 1982. I was 10 years old. And
praise God.
Anyway, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. But, you know, we had opportunities to quit. Who didn't? You had opportunities to quit. Who didn't? But, you know, we had that vision. We had that. We knew God spoke. Hallelujah. And God said, do this. And God wanted this. And so we kept at it. We kept at it. We're still at it. We're still keeping at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we hadn't got there yet. We're still... In fact, we'll be doing this till Jesus comes.
That's right.
Or we go, one or the other. And I believe we ought to increase in reaching people and ministry and outreaches and so on and so forth. I don't believe we've done it all. You know, we just started that food ministry a year and a half ago. That thing is just rolling. We had 82 families Tuesday that we provided food for, that all got prayed for, got ministered to, and then food that they got. 10 new families came in and signed up. Thank God. That's a fairly new ministry, just a year and a half or so. So we're excited about that. You know, don't give up, because if you stop believing and you quit having a vision and hope, you perish.
Right.
We don't plateau out as Christians. I don't plateau out as a minister or as a pastor or as a husband or as a father. I'm praying to be a better father. I'm asking God to help me be a better husband. I know my wife is. So I know we're in agreement. If he too agrees touching anything, it shall be done. Hallelujah. So, but the word is what, and the word's meant to be done. See, think about this. We're talking about a vision. A vision is not just something you're thinking. It's not just something you see. It's something you pursue. It's something that you do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
See, the end of all knowledge is action. It's meant to be done. It's James that said, James 1:22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So the word is meant to be done. We can talk about being nice, but you need to go be nice.
Amen.
We can talk about love, but you need to go love people.
Right.
You can talk about prayer, but you need to pray. You know, that's just one of the things. The Word of God is something that really does not truly come alive to you until you yield your life to it.
Amen.
But it's amazing. It's amazing how alive it becomes to us when we live it, when we act it out. The revelation comes as we walk in it.
Amen.
Are you with me? More revelation comes the more we walk in. A vision becomes clearer as you approach it, because everything becomes clearer by approach. I mean, if I saw a mountain on the horizon, it may be just a hill on the horizon of my sight, but the closer I get to it, the larger it becomes.
Yes.
The more I walk toward it, the bigger it becomes. If I walk the other way, it becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. But if I walk toward it, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, if I finally get to the base of it, it's going to fill the horizon, and I won't see anything but it. That's where God wants you to be with your vision. But you're going to have to walk toward the vision in order for it to fill your horizon. And you need to go forward, not backwards.
Yes.
See, your past, that's backwards.
That's right.
Your future, that's forwards.
Yes.
You say, well, I'm always looking at my past. Then you're telling me you're walking backwards. You fall, you trip, you stumble when you walk backwards because you can't see where you're going and you don't progress very well at all. See, we've got to turn around and face our future.
That's right.
We've got to quit looking backwards and start looking forwards and then walk forwards.
Right.
Walk in the Word. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Deceiving our own selves because we're in deception when we just hear the Word and we don't do it.
Right.
We really don't get the revelation of it. Isn't that true?
Yes.
But hey, with a vision, we don't perish. Happy is he who keeps the law. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Man, that's going to be me. How about you?
Amen.
I want to be that person, see? Accurate knowledge, right words form good visions that can be followed that bring good outcomes.
Amen.
Pure and simple. And if you want your future, if you want to design your future, if you want to see your future as it should be, then you need a knowledge of God's Word because that's what it should be. That's what it will be. You know, if you stand on God's Word. You know, Hosea 4:6 very simply says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. When I put the two scriptures together, I mean, you have, without a vision, people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They don't have the Word to form their vision, so their vision won't stand the test of time. Their vision won't take the heat, as it were. Their vision collapses, crumbles, and doesn't make it because it's not based on the Word, see? But if you keep the law, keep the Word, then your vision will be correct, and you'll have knowledge of God's Word, and you won't perish.
Amen.
I'm tired of perishing. How about you?
Amen.
Brother Osteen used to say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. So, you know, you don't have to live that way. There's hope for you. Praise God you can make it. You know, I don't know what everybody else is saying about you, but really all that matters is what God says about you and then what you say.
That's right.
About you.
That's right.
Well, they said this and they said, well, what do you say?
Amen.
What do you say? I'm going to say what God says. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. If God says I can do it, I can do it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Turn to Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2. These are basic scriptures on vision. I mean, many of you know these scriptures. Habakkuk or Habakkuk. You might need not know Habakkuk or Habakkuk's in there. I always say Habakkuk, and so in this church today, that's the right way to say it. Habakkuk. You're going to meet this guy when you get to heaven. You ought to read his book, you know, so you can tell him you read it. Oh, yeah. I remember that book. You ever heard that song, Although the Fig Tree Shall Not Blossom?
Yeah.
The fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive field, the field yields no meat. You remember that song? Although the fig tree shall not blossom, fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive field, the field shall yield no meat. Although the flock be cut off from the fold, there should be no herd in the stall, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Y'all remember that? Okay. Nobody remembers that song.
But
that's Habakkuk 3:17. That's in the Bible. That's in this book we're reading here. Habakkuk 2. Y'all actually act like that was torture or something, the way I sang that song. Yeah.
Amen.
Okay, I got it. All right, no more singing. Habakkuk 2. Notice what it says here, Habakkuk 2, verse 1. It says, I will stand on my watch and I'll set myself on the rampart and I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. I love that. You know, it would probably be in your best interest to spend a little time listening to God and see what he has to say to you. Hallelujah. Woo! This is exciting service this morning. I don't know what. Did y'all all sleep in late or something? What is the deal here? But he says, I'll watch and see what he says to me. Now see, what he's doing, he's getting his vision. He's getting his marching orders. He's getting his dreams and his hopes from God. If you get your dreams and hopes from anywhere else, they're going to fall apart and perish. They're not going to make it. They're not going to stand the test. But if you'll take some time and find out what God says about you and listen to see what he has to say to you and let him rebuke you if that's the case, because we probably do need that. Many times we're going down the wrong road. And it doesn't matter how hard and fast and passionate you go down that road. If it's the wrong road, it's the wrong road.
Right.
You just need to get off of it and quit it.
Amen.
And get on the right road. Hallelujah. And so he's saying, I'll stand on my watch. I'll set myself on the rampart. I'll watch to see what he will say to me. How much waiting have we done? How much watching have we done? How much looking have we done to see what God has to say to us?
Amen.
It's very important. If you want to make it in life, if you want to be what God wants you to be that husband, be that wife, and be that father and that mother, and be that minister or that business, whatever it is you do, if you want to be the best you can be, you need to spend time listening to what God has to say. Let him rebuke you if that's the case, because you don't always do everything right. I don't either. And I need correction.
Yes.
But I need it from someone who loves me. That's I need right. it from someone who cares about me, someone who believes in me.
Yeah.
I think we forget that. I do believe in God, but I'll tell you, he believes in me a lot more than I believe in him.
That's right.
And that's not blasphemy, what I just said. I do my best to trust God and believe God, but he believes in me even stronger
Amen.
Than I believe
yeah.
in him.
Yes.
My best day of trusting God's nothing to God's trusting me
right.
and God believing in me. He really thinks you count. He really thinks you can make it. He really thinks you can be something better than you are.
Praise
he
God.
Believes that you can overcome. Amen. He believes that you can win. God does. And all he's wanting us to do is listen to him so we can be that, so we can do that, so we can achieve that.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So we don't perish.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I mean, that's just really the truth of the matter. God really cares. You know, you hear all these stories and you know, you read commentaries and people speculate about things. It's just amazing to me. Well, why did Jesus heal the blind man? Was it to show that we were all in spiritual darkness and needed the light of the gospel? You know, and all that sounds well and very religious, but you know, he healed the blind man because he loved him and he didn't want him blind.
Praise God.
Why is that so complicated? Why did he heal the lame man? Because God didn't want the man to be crippled.
Amen.
His compassion went out to him. He loves. He really cares. I mean, why is all this important? Why, you know, come on. I'm okay. I die. I go to heaven. Well, okay, that's fine. You die and go to heaven. But you know, you don't have to live in hell while you're waiting.
That's right.
Yes.
And there's others that need you to live right.
Yes.
Amen.
There are people going to hell. I was just listening, you know, to Michael mention about all those people. How many people die every day? One, just a heartbeat. Somebody dies, every heartbeat. Throw a rock and you'd hit one, you know, where they were. Don't hit them too hard because they're going to go to hell if they die. But really, I mean, the seriousness of the matter is, what am I doing to make a difference? What am I doing to let people see Jesus in me? I need to have joy. I do. I need to have a successful marriage. I do. I need that. The world needs to see that.
That's right.
Did you know the world needs to see that marriage works? It does work
That's
with
right.
God. They need to see that. They need to see that people can go through tough times and come out ahead without the smell of the smoke on them.
That's
hallelujah.
Right.
That they can still have peace and they can still have joy.
Yes.
That our peace and joy comes from heaven.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Amen.
And God does do miracles and he does supply needs and he is still alive today. He is not a dead God. He is a living God.
Amen.
You can't represent a supernatural God without supernatural manifestations. Bottom line.
That's right.
I think it's interesting that Jesus did not send the disciples out to tell everybody that he had risen from the dead. He said, you wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Because he wanted them to have the power
That's
when
right.
they went out to demonstrate the power that this God is a God of miracle signs and wonders.
Amen.
Jesus didn't try it without it.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's right.
He didn't. He didn't do. He didn't, listen. He waited for the Holy Ghost to come upon him.
That's right.
And then he started his ministry. Because it wasn't just a concept or an ideal revelation. This is not just Christianity as opposed to Buddhism or the Quran or the Bhagavad Gita or one of the other religions of the world. No, no, no. There is a difference here. There's a difference here, and the difference is the power of God. The difference is
right.
is God is real and alive. The tomb is empty. Muhammad's dead and Buddha's dead.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus is alive.
Amen.
It won't be old Buddha sitting on that throne.
That's right.
And it won't be Muhammad calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna playing that trumpet tune. Oh, no. It's going to be Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Habakkuk 2. Okay, I got 5 minutes. You think I can do it?
Yeah.
Do you believe in me?
Help me have faith.
You have no idea how many more scriptures I wanted to get to. But we'll just have to pick this up. And Michael took all my time. Come on.
Praise God.
He says, I'll stand on my watch and I'll set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run it, read it. Oh, I love that. Praise God. What are your goals and dreams and hopes? What are they? Have you written them down? Have you, do you make confessions out of them? Do you hook scriptures to them? I hope they're started with scripture. You ought to be able to say it over and over. We do that here in the church. You know, every service. What are we about? Empowering people with the good news of Jesus Christ so they can change their world. Hallelujah. That's what we're about. You know, the main purpose, the main job of the church is to get people saved and then get them discipled.
That's right.
Come on, that's it. I mean, you get saved, get baptized in the Holy Ghost, get discipled, live in the Christian life. I mean, it's you don't want to just get saved and stay there. You want to get discipled too. But the main job is get them saved first. And
Amen.
We have a mission. We have a purpose, see? And so what is your mission? What is your purpose? You know, with your family, where are you going with your family? Where are you going with your business? Where are you going with your life?
Yes.
Write the vision. Make it plain. Put it on a refrigerator. Put it on the mirror in the bathroom. That's your vision. That's what you want to look like. You know why you look in that mirror? Because you want to look like something different than you look like when you first look in that mirror.
Amen.
Isn't that right? And you use that mirror to form and shape your future. A little more over here, a little more over there. We'll pull it back this way, pull it back that way. No, not yet. Not there yet. I'm still looking. I love that. And you know, nobody argues with the mirror either. I love that. God says this is what's wrong with you and this is how you can correct it. And we'll sit there and argue with God all day long. Can you imagine going up to the mirror in the morning saying, no way. That's a lie. No, I mean, the mirror didn't lie. It's telling you the truth. But it's there to help you. And if you'll follow it and act on it, you can straighten everything out. And boy, you look pretty good. See?
Amen.
God's Word the same way. You go in and you go, ooh, oh, wow. You mean I got to get rid of that? Yeah, you do. Yeah, you need. I'm doing that, man. I got to change that.
That's right. Yes, sir.
So you write the vision, you make it plain so you can run with it when you read it. And really, the more you go over it, the more you can run with it. The more familiar you are with the territory. Mm-hmm. Next time the devil throws his best shot, you know, you've been there. It's not your first rodeo, as we say in Texas. You're familiar with this territory. I recognize that. I know what to do. I'm going to trust God and stand on the Word. Been doing that for years now. Oh, come on. That's not going to work. Hello. You're familiar with it, see? You need to get familiar with your vision. Where are you going? What are your hopes? What are your dreams? What does the Bible say? Do you know what the Bible says? You know, it's amazing when you step out. I read a quote by a guy named William H. Murray, and he said this, "The moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence or God moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have happened. A whole string of events issue from that decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance which no man could have dreamed would come his way." Because he committed, because he started, because he stepped out there.
That's right.
I like that. God says that I believe it, I'm going to step out on it. God says that I heard it, I'm going to do it. That's the vision I got from God. That's what God says can be in my life. I'm going to keep that. Happy is the man that keeps that law. Are you with me? I'm going to write this vision. I'm going to run with this vision. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. It doesn't matter what everybody else says. There's a lot of naysayers. A lot of people say you can't make it and it can't happen. But those that row the boat don't have time to rock it. A lot of armchair quarterbacks. Oh, come on, man. You know you could have played that game better. You know you wouldn't have missed that shot. You know you wouldn't have called that play. I mean, come on, we sit there and we just rule the world. And you get a couple men together and some real strong coffee, we can solve all the problems in the world. You know it's the truth. But the guy out there fighting, the guy out there in the battle, see, that's who God empowers. That's who God helps. And if you and I will make that decision to do what God tells us to do. He says, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run that reads it. You know, what is it that you're believing? I often say this. You know, put it up somewhere where you can see it every day. Every day. Say it every day. Put it on the visor in your car, on the refrigerator, in the bathroom mirror or something. Well, what does God's Word say? God's Word will speak to you. It'll enlighten you. It'll challenge you. It'll charge you. It'll change you. And I cannot count the times I've read a scripture, run across a verse that just absolutely made my day. absolutely just turned my whole perspective around, my whole paradigm, my thinking changed immediately. Because I was going down the wrong road, but God's Word got me back on the right road. Now, when that happens, see, you don't need to let that slip. You need to write that down. You need to say that over and over. You need to keep it before you. Because it will slip if you don't do it and you don't act on it. Hallelujah. You can have a better life. Amen. Keep hope alive. It says, third verse, I'm closing out. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Sometimes it takes a while. It'll happen. Don't give up. Don't quit. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry or wait forever. God will do what He said He will do. God's Word is true or truth. And whatever He says will come to pass if you do your part. Yes, amen. And your part is to keep the vision. I made an acronym out of vision. Vision is valuable information, supernaturally inspired, outside the natural. V-I-S-I-O-N. So if in this life alone you have hope, you're of all creatures most miserable. But see, we don't look at this life. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. They can be changed. But the things which are not seen, they are eternal." Hallelujah. Vision is seeing more than others see. Vision is seeing what God shows you. Vision is something that's formed and revealed to you from an outside source, which would be God's Word. Amen? And vision will keep us from perishing. It'll give us hope when everybody's down. It'll bring us light when everybody else is in darkness. It'll give us victory when everybody's falling. And you can have it. Hallelujah. Amen? Because you're God's people. Get in the Word. Find out what God says for you. You'll find out He believes in you more than you believe in yourself. He really does.